Our text is found in the fourth verse, Isaiah 25 and verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 4. Isaiah, as you know, prophesied in the 8th century BC. The time of his ministry was roughly between 740 BC to 700 BC. And throughout that ministry, he predicted events and situations which would occur long time after he was around. In fact, in the generations to come. In particular, Isaiah was the prophet who foresaw the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who also foresaw his invasion of Israel and the taking away of many Jews into captivity in 605 BC, almost 100 years later, and then 597 BC, and again 586 BC. But he did more than foresee these particular things. But he foresaw also that in God's providence, he would raise up a Persian king, Cyrus by name, who would overthrow the kingdom of Babylon, where the Jews were held captive, and who would issue a decree for the deliverance of those Jews in 539 BC. Now, in the chapters here in chapter 25, and in and around this chapter, we have described for us in chapter 24 the calamity which is to come. In chapter 25, we have described for us the deliverance that is to be effected. And then in chapter 6, we have the thanksgiving that should be rendered. Now, we are in the chapter 25, which deals with deliverance, the deliverance of the Jews from bondage. That's the theme of the chapter. But when Isaiah is describing this future deliverance, he cannot help looking beyond that deliverance to another deliverance, a higher, sublimer deliverance, the deliverance which will be brought in by the Messiah, the Savior, God's eternal Son. And here we have in chapter 25 a song of redemption over what Isaiah calls the wonderful things that God has done. Now, he means by that the wonderful things that he will do in overthrowing Babylon and setting his people free. But there are even more wonderful things beyond, and he can't help touching upon them. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came? Men heard in their own language. People talk about the wonderful works of God. And these wonderful works were not the works of deliverance from a world power in the 6th century BC, but they were those works most wonderful in Christ when he set his people free from sin and the law and death and hell. And so he encourages here praise. Thou hast made of a city an heap, verse 2, of a defense city a ruin, primary reference to Babylon. Thou hast overthrown the enemy. But in our case, the enemy that beset us and attacked us, Satan himself, his demons, the threatenings of an offended, broken law, sin, all these things have been overcome. And in verse 4, he seems to sum it all up when he says, Thou hast been to thy people a strength to the poor. Again, the first reference is to the Babylonian captives. A strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. But through the salvation of Jesus Christ, how much more true are these words? Well, I want to look at them this morning. The fourth verse of Isaiah 25. And the Lord here is beautifully described in a threefold way. First of all, as a stronghold, and I'll explain that in a moment, a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress. Secondly, as a refuge from the storm, and thirdly, as a shade, a shadow from the heat. First of all, a stronghold. Now here, let me offer a word of explanation. The word translated here, strength, literally means a place of strength. Could be translated a fortress. And as the Lord was to the Jews and is to us a protection and a defender, so he is described as one of strength, a place of strength, a veritable stronghold. And that's what he is in our day, to all who trust in him. Now, a strength or stronghold to whom? To the poor, to the needy, and to those in distress. The poor is a rendering of the Hebrew word which means literally tottering or infirm. The word translated here, the needy, is a word which means badly off, requiring help. So when you put the two together, poor and needy, it means somebody who is very weak, poor, and someone who is helpless, needy. And the third word, in distress, indicates a state of grief. Because we are weak, we have no help, then we are full of sorrow and full of sadness. Now, are these things not true of God's people so very often? Are we not poor? how weak we are. Sometimes that weakness is revealed as bodily weakness. Like David, of whom it was said, David waxed faint. Sometimes it's spiritual weakness. As Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2, my soul fainteth within me. And we feel so vulnerable. Because we haven't got the wherewithal to face the challenge that comes against us. We can't cope with the trial or with the trouble that is before us. And we can't face the future with all its unknown difficulties and unknown problems. Poor. Everything within us trembles at what life may bring, of what we may face. And we're needy too, in the sense of badly off, requiring help. We often feel that. We are so lacking in what we must have temporally or spiritually. And help doesn't seem to be afforded to us, so that we are reduced to prayer and pleas before the throne of God. We are weak and there is none to help. Needy. We are weak and there is no power to maintain. Needy. And as we reflect upon this state, we can be full of anxiety, carefulness. We can even be reduced to tears in distress. Against that background, Isaiah paints this beautiful picture of the Lord upon the canvas. Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. As I say, a strong place for such. A strong hold for such. And it brings before us these thoughts that the Lord is as a strong place, whatever we may be confronted with, whatever we have to grapple with, he's as the stronger one. He is bigger than we are. He is a rock that is higher than we are, and who affords us succor. Thou hast been a stronghold. Such a stronghold established on the rock of divinity. And therefore, not a stronghold that is going to be swayed under pressure or bend under pressure. But a God who is in the time of our difficulty, mighty to save and just as mighty to keep. Like a stronghold, the walls surrounding it, so God is like that to each and every one of his people, stronger than they are, standing even in the worst that life can bring, surrounding us with the walls of his divine power and his divine might, and so broad and strong and fixed are those walls that no enemy can assail or make a breach or overthrow. God, even our God, is the Almighty. A stronghold in the day of trouble. In him is all fullness of defense. In him is the protection of Israel. In him is our safety and our peace. A stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress. This stronghold, my friends, is always within reach. When the battle rages, when the strength departs, when we fear for our very survival, he is there at hand, not far from any one of us. And there is access to him. His love and mercy and grace mean that the gates of this stronghold are open continually. He is ever ready to help those that put their trust in him. And it is this that the people of God have found through the years. When they have had to meet the same problems, vexed with the same sorrows, to whom did they turn in their crises but to this God, a stronghold for them and a stronghold for us? They proved him in their day. Thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress, as we may prove him, though feeling ever so feeble, though overwhelmed with our fears, and though uncertain as to what may lie ahead. They proved him in their day, and we prove him in ours. As I was with Moses, God said to Joshua, so will I be with thee. Be strong and of good courage. And the whole of God's word seems to say that to us. As I was with Abraham, as I was with Isaac, as I was with Jacob, so I will be to thee. What was I to them? I was a stronghold to the poor and a stronghold to the needy in his distress. What must we do then? Do what they did. When our hearts are low and our hearts are trembling, then we flee to him who is our fortress and who is our defense. And in the presence of God, there is security. And there is peace. And there is hope. We flee for refuge to the one who is set before us. And he receives us because he will never let one of his people come to grief. And whatever is against us, threatening, alarming, he stands as a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he vows by his own exalted name that we shall not perish. But he will exert all his godhood to our preservation and to our safekeeping. What a blessed truth this is. That's what I need. That's what I need when life is rough, when my heart gives way, when I fear the worst. I need a stronghold. The scripture says, to God thou hast been a stronghold to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress. God will undertake for us in the worst moment. He will surround us with his keeping power when we are ready to die. And he will ensure that we survive, that we come not to any misfortune or calamity. He is our God. The second figure here is a refuge from the storm. A refuge is a shelter or a covert. Here, particularly one which might shield us from the storm. The Hebrew word means the tremendous rain or the overflowing flood. When our lives seem to be in jeopardy, when it's doubtful that we can continue, when the storm breaks ill upon us and appears so exceedingly dangerous to us, he is our refuge. And what does that mean? It means that when we find ourselves in sore trials, when troubles strike, when Satan particularly attacks, when illness besets us, when bereavement breaks upon us, when health fails and death confronts us, he is our refuge. God is our refuge. That means in the worst time, there is a place of calm retreat. The presence of the God who is able to defend us. Unknown to us, he'll never be more obvious than then. As he is resolved to look after us. And a universal refugee is, it doesn't matter what kind of believer we are, where we have come from in this world, what our experience has been, or what our plight may appear to be at this time. A refuge from the storm is he. And the only qualifying note is you're in trouble, and you're being battered, and you're being broken. And if that is true, God is your refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. The refuge of God's people of old is the refuge of God's people still, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will see to it that you're not stricken to perish. He will see to it that you are kept at all times. And that you are delivered. Oh, view it in Christ. What does the refuge do for a man? The refuge suffers the storm itself, that those within the refuge might be forever safe. And that's what God did in Christ. He came as a man. He subjected himself to the law. He put himself under the judgment of heaven. And he bore in his own body and in his own soul the rigor of divine punishment against sin, that those for whom he stood in that evil day at Calvary, in him might be forever safe. A refuge, suffering himself to deliver them for whom he stood. A refuge from the storm. And he'll ever be thus to us. Whatever surrounds us, whatever overtakes us, whatever seems to lay us low, he's there. He's our refuge. However bad life is, it will never destroy him. He's able to keep what is committed unto him. Against that day, no man, he said, shall pluck thee out of my hand. A mighty protector I have, unseen but forever at hand. And that protector is Jesus Christ. So you may be ready to give up and you may be ready to fall into abject despair, but he's ready to do neither. He appears as your refuge this morning, and let hell do its worst, and let earth bring upon you all its troubles. But if trusting in him who supplies superior power and guardian grace, it will be well with you. A refuge from the storm. And the third figure is a shadow from the heat. This probably has its rise in the Psalms. Psalm 121, he shall be thy shade upon thy right hand. And whatever comes our way, the accusations of a fiery law, the fear of the flaming sword of justice, the heat of awful temptations, the ferocity of suffering and loss, fiery trials, he is a shade from the heat. Wonderfully and mysteriously, he offers that shadow. And as we come near to him and enter the place of that shadow, there is strange protection from the awful heat. There's refreshment even. And there is rest. And we sit down, that is, we exercise faith and we rest in his shadow with great delight. And all the time that the sun is bearing down upon us so that we fear we have not the strength to abide and that we can't go on, all the time, he is as the shadow from the noonday sun. He surrounds us. He covers every part of us. Not an aspect of our lives is exposed to the burning, scorching heat. He environs us with his protecting grace. He promises, as it were, to be where we are. So that we'll know his peace. If he left, there would be no shadow, no shade, but he'll never leave. Therefore, he is a shadow from the heat. And we dwell in his presence. We rest in his love. We continue in his blessing. He is there when the heat is intense. A shadow from the heat. And if it gets worse, he will still be there. A shadow from the heat. And when we are ready to fall, and it appears over with us, he'll be there as never before. A shadow from the heat. Others may trust in other things, but they will pass away. We trust in the living God. He shall not pass away. And the shadow remains. The believer can say, therefore, though he's weary, his strength is gone, and he knows not how to make the next step, it shall be well with my remnant, for the Lord is a shadow from the heat. And life may be rough, but he will keep me. It may be hard to bear, but he will preserve me. He is for me always and forever. The end is not to perish, but to remain. The end is for the Lord to sustain me and revive me and keep me. A shadow from the heat. I'm not sure why I had to preach this morning. I know full well I need to preach it to myself. But who knows what you're going through, my friend, just now. All I can feebly do is to point you to your God, who is, believe me, a stronghold to the poor and needy in his distress, a refuge in the storm of life, and a shadow from the pressures which are now upon you and are weakening you by the day, so that you're almost ready to fall. My God is your shadow. Draw near to him. Trust him. and hope to the end. And he that believeth shall not be confounded. Amen. We sing together the